Welcome back to Dakota Midday from South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke. The NRA has been described as the most feared special interest group in Washington, D.C., and a new PBS Frontline report explores how the NRA reinvented itself from a group of hunters and sportsmen to a powerful lobbying force opposing any infringement on the right to bear arms. The documentary Gunned Down, The Power of the NRA, airs this evening on SDPB-TV at 9 Central, 8 Mountain. Joining us for more about the documentary is PBS Frontline reporter and producer Jim Gilmore. And Jim, welcome to Dakota Midday.
Thank you, Carl. Great to be here.
Well, why did Frontline want to take this look into the power of the NRA?
Well, I mean, it's one of those major issues. It's a third rail question in Washington. It's after every single mass shooting in America, which seems to happen almost monthly these days, the issue of gun control comes back to the forefront. And so we decided that we should take a look at it and better understand it and better understand the NRA that has been basically fighting a bare-knuckles fight in Washington, D.C. for the past few decades and how they've succeeded in pushing forward their ideas and preventing additional laws from coming through in recent time.
In the documentary Gunned Down, one of the important events happened in 1977. This was the NRA convention in Cincinnati. Why was this so important as far as marking a change for the organization?
Well, I mean, the NRA was always a nonprofit organization for hunters and sportsmen, and was funded through subscriptions for their magazines and through membership. But over the years, they became much more politically involved. In 77 is really when a new group of leaders came in, and their attitude was they wanted to be more politically involved. They wanted their headquarters to be in the Washington area because that's where they knew that they wanted to wage this fight. And so they became much more politically involved, much more involved in lobbying. It's a nonprofit, but they have a lobbying piece of the business, which is separate, a piece of the organization, which is separate. And it became one of the most feared and one of the most powerful lobbying groups in Washington. In fact, when a lobbying group for any organization, that is, any new lobbying sort of group comes to be, they often look at the NRA to better understand the best way to succeed as a lobbying group, because everybody agrees that they have been the most successful at it, and they are as because of that feared by the politicians in Washington, and they've basically put gun control away, and at this point, politicians basically feel that there's just no way to put through gun control laws because of the power of the NRA. It's basically agreed to in Washington.
Going back to that 1977 convention, why did this group of NRA members want to become more politically involved? Did they see a threat to gun rights?
Yeah, I mean, I think they felt that. I mean, we talked to a lot of gun rights advocates in the program, people that had been leaders at the NRA, people that had been spokespeople for the NRA, lobbyists for the NRA, and there's an attitude that Second Amendment rights are utterly important if you want to maintain freedom, your freedom in America. They see this almost as a religion more than a political right. They breathe, they bleed this issue as the most important one if you're an American. That has always been, part of the NRA. Not all NRA members, but it certainly is a big part of the membership. That group came to the forefront back in 77. There was another group that wanted to move out of Washington. The ones that were leaders at that point, they wanted to be only focused on hunting, hunters and sportsmen. But there was a divide, and this other group won out. And ever since then, they've been at the forefront. And every time, it seems, the surprising thing is when you look at it, is that after every mass murder, mass shooting, there is a very powerful wave of support that goes towards the NRA. Their memberships numbers increase. The amount of money coming to the organization increases because there's a belief among some NRA members that a fear that their rights are going to be taken, their guns are going to be taken away from them. So every time it becomes news again, or that guns are being discussed, this very powerful and very supportive group of people are there to help support the NRA as an organization and for the things that the organization is trying to advance.
You're listening to Dakota Midday from South Dakota Public Broadcasting. We're talking with Frontline, PBS Frontline reporter and producer Jim Gilmore. Tonight's Frontline episode is Gunned Down, the Power of the NRA. That airs this evening on SDPB-TV at 9 Central, 8 Mountain. In regards to the opponents of the NRA, those who are pushing for some sort of gun control, why is it that they're unable to pose much of a challenge to the NRA?
Some people have told us that there are a lot of people that feel that something, you know, should be done about gun violence. I mean, gun violence is, of course, the United States leads developing nations in the number of gun deaths and in murder, suicides, and accidental deaths due to guns. There are 310 million guns in America. And every time there's another mass shooting, you know, there is a very vocal group of people that come out and sort of say, well, why can't government help to prevent such events as from taking place? Isn't there something we can do about guns? But the NRA has learned over the years that after every mass shooting, it'll be front page news for a while, and then it'll quiet down. People have many other issues that they're concerned about, and they'll forget. They'll stop looking at this one issue. While folks in the NRA, it's often sort of said that they have one major issue. They believe so strongly in it that they are always there. And if the NRA raises a red flag and says, listen, we need, you know, Congress to be, we need letters, we need emails, we need faxes to go to Congress to make sure they don't pass such and such a law, that support is always there. So it just seems that the gun control advocates have never been as strong. I think in recent years there have been several organizations that have started up that are trying to change this, but at presently that hasn't happened.
One of the things that comes out in tonight's Frontline documentary is the approach of Wayne LaPierre and his leadership, in that even though some of the things that he said in response to some of these horrible tragedies, some of the things that he said have been roundly criticized by others that aren't in the NRA, but I think one of the things that comes out is that he's not talking to the general public. He's talking to the NRA. He's trying to appeal to them and get them on to kind of focus their message.
Right. I mean, he's talking to his base. After Sandy Hook happened in 2012, he was on. He gave a press conference about a week after the murder of those 20 children, 6 adults, and this is a point when the country was really mourning because it was such a horrible event, and he got on television and basically defined the NRA's policies as they have always been, that the only way to stop a bad guy with a gun is by having a good guy with a gun. He was talking about more guns that were necessary, more guns in schools and such. And he got a lot of bad press after that because it seems so insensitive in the way he defined this. But the reality was that it was not a miscalculation. he was talking to this base group that will always be there to support. And in fact, when something like Sandy Hook happens, they get very defensive because they're afraid this will change things. This will make the politicians braver, and they will pass laws that will restrict their rights. And there is this great fear that at some point somebody's going to be knocking on their door and taking away their guns. I think LaPierre understands this. He's learned this over the years. And indeed, after Sandy Hook, after this, you know, after the headlines that he was a gun nut and everything else that came out after Sandy Hook, the NRA's membership again went up, and again, more and more money came into their coffers because they understand who they're speaking to, and they don't really care what others might believe. It's worked for them over the years. It's worked now for decades. And that's indeed the direction that they continually take.
Jim Gilmore is reporter and producer for this evening's PBS Frontline Report, Gunned Down, The Power of the NRA. It airs this evening on SDPB-TV at 9 Central, 8 Mountain. And Jim, I want to thank you for taking the time to talk with us on Dakota Midday.
Thank you, Carl. Much appreciated.